morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week, I'm going to be talking about Israel. I've talked about Israel in the past, but I'm going to come from a different angle this week. I'm going to talk about my opportunity to visit Israel. I was in Israel just recently. I was able to go with my family. We were able to spend a couple weeks there and really enjoy so many sights, visit so many places, take it all in. And so I want to share with you some of my observations from the trip that would, I think, add credibility to the Bible, that would point to the fact that we can trust the Bible. And there were a number of things. I mean, of course, there are a lot of things I already knew about how Israel as a nation supports the Bible, but just being there helped me make some of those connections even stronger. And so I'm just going to share some of my personal reactions from that trip. So I'm going to approach it this way. I'm going to talk about how, and I don't think there's anything here that proves the Bible is true, but I think there are a number of things that you could make a prediction many years ago. Let's say you lived in Israel nearly 2,000 years ago, maybe just after the time of Christ, around 50 AD. And there was a debate at the time. Let's just imagine this debate between two people. One believes that the Bible is true and you can trust the Bible. And the other believes that, no, you can't really trust the Bible. You know, either they don't believe there's any kind of supernatural, you know, they're an atheist, or they're maybe just a pagan follower of a different religion, and they think the Bible's nonsense. And as the two of them talk, they begin to make predictions about what's going to happen in the future. Well, there are certain predictions that the Bible believer would make based on his belief that the Bible is true, and there are certain predictions, what would be reasonable, what one would expect if you think the Bible is not true. And what I'm going to suggest during this week, as I talk about what I saw in Israel, is that the kind of predictions that someone who believed the Bible to be true, you know, long ago, those predictions have all come true. And the kind of predictions are what you would expect to happen in the land of Israel, with the archaeology, with the events, with who's in the land, with what kind of things will go on in the land, the kind of things you would expect to happen if you did not believe the Bible is true, well, those have not happened at all. So I think ultimately what this comes down to, or what this lends weight to, is if you want to believe the Bible, you have lots of confirming evidence in the nation of Israel today. Today I'm going to specifically talk about archaeology, but there are many angles that we could look at this from. If you want to say that the Bible's not true, that it's either just made up by men, that it's, you know, just was all about wanting to get power over people and wanting to get people to fall in line and wanting to create a nation state through mythology, or, you know, whatever it is you want to believe about the Bible, if you believe the Bible's not true, you have to explain a lot of things that you can see in Israel today, and you have to say that they're all coincidence. And to me, that takes a great deal of faith. So that's the direction I'm heading. So let me today just talk about archaeology. So there are a number of claims people have made about the Bible over the centuries as to how it does not have a historical basis, that the stories are made up, that you can't find any corroborating evidence. But over time, archaeology has steadily made that list grow less and less because we have found confirming evidence. And I've studied this in books before, but it was amazing to be there and see it. So let me give you an example. Hezekiah's tunnel. So Hezekiah is a king of Judah who lived just prior to 700 BC. So we're talking about 2,700 years ago. And the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20, describes the events of Hezekiah's life. And 2 Kings 20, verse 20, says this: "As for the other events of Hezekiah's reign, all his achievements in how he made the pool and the tunnel by which he brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah?" So this verse is telling us that Hezekiah, most likely in response to a siege from the king of Assyria who wanted to capture Jerusalem, he went to work and made designs and plans and had workers dig a tunnel that connected the spring that was the water source for the city that's called the Gihon Spring that was located outside the wall of the city to make a tunnel that would bring it inside the wall of the city so that the people could have access to water while the Assyrian troops are surrounding the city and cutting off anyone from leaving and entering the city. So they needed to have a water supply. So Hezekiah built a tunnel connecting the spring with this pool of water. And 2 Kings 20, verse 20 mentions that. Okay, do we have any archaeological evidence for that? Yes, I got to walk through that tunnel. So that was an amazing experience. But let me kind of set up the scenario again for you. If you live in Jerusalem in 50 AD, and you're saying, what's going to happen in the future? Well, a Bible believer might say, one day we'll discover Hezekiah's tunnel, because at the time it was buried underground. The Babylonians came a little over 100 years after the life of Hezekiah, destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem at that time, carried off people into exile, including Daniel and others. And and they just buried so much of the city under rubble. And even in Jesus' day, you could not find Hezekiah's tunnel. It had been destroyed, covered over, buried by Nebuchadnezzar. If you do not believe in the Bible, you might suppose, Hezekiah's tunnel, that's just a nice Bible story, but we don't have any historical basis for that. So let's flash forward. What happens? Well, it's not until the 20th century, it's not until the last 35, 40 years, that we found Hezekiah's tunnel. And inside Hezekiah's tunnel, we actually found an inscription written by the builders of the tunnel that mention Hezekiah by name and talk about how they built this tunnel because of the siege. And so we have actual physical archaeological evidence that connects exactly with what the Bible says about this tunnel. And so I was able to go with my wife, our two boys, they're 8 and 10, and they were really excited about this because you have to walk through water, you walk through a 533-meter-long narrow tunnel through the water, and all along the way you can see all the chisel marks on the wall that were made by Hezekiah's workers. And this was really fun for the kids, and we had to, make sure we had water shoes, put on bathing suits, and made the trip walking underground under ancient Jerusalem through this tunnel, and it absolutely confirms the biblical record. Now, does this prove that all of the Bible is true? No. It's just one example that where skeptics of the Bible think we're not going to find anything confirming the Bible, the archaeological evidence continues to support the Bible. We don't have hard physical archaeological evidence for a lot of the stories in the Bible because a lot of the stories in the Bible don't involve building things. But when it does, when there's something like Hezekiah's tunnel mentioned, more and more we find the confirmation of the truth of the Bible, that it is something we can trust. I was also able to see part of Hezekiah's wall that he specifically built to expand the walls during the siege. This was the same wall that was at least partially destroyed by the Babylonians, but a good part of it is still there. I was able to stand in front of Herod's coffin, called a sarcophagus by archaeologists, but the actual tomb that Herod the Great, who spoke to the three wise men, what he was buried in, it's in a museum. You can stand there and see it. I stood in front of the coffin of Caiaphas, the high priest, at Jesus' trial. So these are just a few examples, but there are so many of these things, these small details. People used to doubt Pilate's existence. I saw the inscription that dates to the time of Pilate that names him as a builder in a construction project. So as time moves on, we find more and more confirmation that the Bible is a very historical book, that it's accurate, that we can trust it. And I'll move on and develop this more into a different area tomorrow. But I really enjoyed the trip to Israel, and I'm excited to share more about it with you. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.